today. If I could just see your face. Thank you, Lord. Please be seated if you can. Praise the Lord. Amen. Thank you, Sister Jennifer. Praise the Lord for the Lord using and anointing you to usher and worship in the Spirit of God on this day. I'm reminded of you as you were singing an old song that said, "Oh, I want to see him. Look up on his face, there to sing forever of his saving grace. On the streets of glory, let me lift my voice. Cares are past, home at last, ever to rejoice." Praise the Lord. Let's give the Lord a hand. Praise. He's worthy. He's worthy to be praised. Good afternoon, church. Three P's, amen. And Faith Life is in the house. Praise the Lord. Let's just give God some praise on today. Thank you, Jesus. Well, the water is stirred, and I'm not going to say a whole lot because I want to introduce the speaker to the speaker or speakers for today. Amen, amen. You know, God is just so good. Everything God does has purpose. And ever since I met Jason and Yvonne Llewellyn, it's been a tremendous blessing to hear their story, to hear their passion, their love for Jesus, and what God is doing in their life through the power of the Holy Spirit over in Uganda and everywhere they feet take them. It's been such a tremendous blessing. So without further ado, I would like to present to you, amen, Pastor Jason Llewellyn and Yvonne at this time. Can we give the Lord a hand of praise? Hallelujah.
Praise God. That was beautiful. Beautiful.
Amen. Go ahead
and So, I'm Yvonne. This is Pastor Jason. And that's what it is. Technicalities. So good to be here. The first thing I noticed walking in here was such love, unity, and peace. And that is special because you can walk into church and not always sense that. So, praise God. What a blessing it is to be here. We're honored to be here. And just let Pastor Jason talk a little bit about Uganda.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I just wanted to share real quickly before we get into the word exactly what we do. We also have a little video we'd like to share with you. So you get kind of a sense of the geographical location and the folks that God has sent us to serve. And so Pastor Jason and Yvonne Llewellyn, we've been in Uganda for 9 years. So God called us some time back when we were really at a time of seeking God, and we were really not looking to do something different. We had bought our retirement home in the San Bernardino Mountains. We were pastoring a church, and things were well. We went to a conference to get refreshed, and while there at that conference, we encountered the Lord in such a powerful way. A man who had been serving in Iraq as a missionary, and he preached a very simple message, not something that you would say was quite profound, but we were translated, if you would, to the altar and just completely wrecked. And we knew that God was going to begin to do something. And over the course of a year, he really did, and we began to say yes and yes and yes. And pretty soon we found ourselves first her leaving her career where she was a director at a program on the mountain for drug and alcohol counseling. We gave up our house, sold that house, and then eventually I would give up my career. And after, of course, our short-term mission trip to Uganda where we felt the call, and all of that took place in a very brief period of time. So if I think about after 6 months of visiting Uganda, we were living there. Right. And this was it. This is what God called us to do. And now it's been 9 years. And maybe you could just share a little bit about the ministries we have there now.
So we actually have 4 ministries in Uganda. And the latest one is a teen mothers program called Ita's House. And Ita's short for grandma. And Abuelita in Spanish, but it means grandma's house. And that one is a transitional home for young ladies who are from 16 years old to 24. And they just graduated. We had them for 2 years, and they just graduated. And they're working, and they're doing great. And we give all the glory to the Lord because we get privileged to see God grow people. And we just say yes, and whatever that looks like. The other thing we do is celebrate recovery. There's a lot of alcoholism on the islands. We're on the further outs of the islands there in Uganda, and we reach those people who are extremely poor. And then we put children back into school, single moms, or maybe even single fathers that have a child, or grandmothers, and we put those children back in school. And then we do crusades. And I love the crusades. We do four-day crusades, and we go out to the other parts of the islands, or further out, and where there is no running water, there are no toilets. It is very rural. We won't. If anybody goes on a team next year, don't worry. We won't put you through too much. But I believe there's young people called to the mission field. Maybe not necessarily Uganda, but it could be somewhere else. But the Lord will begin to touch your heart and show you. And the best place to start is to go on a mission trip to find out what God has. And it's not just the younger, it's all ages. God has something for us all, because we're called to go and we're the feet on the ground, but you are the one who pushes forward. So thank you for letting us come and share today. We're blessed.
Wonderful. And do we have, yes, we have the video up. We could go ahead and show the video.
There's resurrection power. Your blood runs through our veins. Hey, your kingdom triumphs over. Even the coldest
Yeah.
She gets out there. Well, praise God. Thank you so much for welcoming us to the house of the Lord here with you all. We really appreciate it. We want to honor the house of God. And I'm just going to open up with a word of prayer. Father, I thank you for your gracious presence with us here today. Lord, we can feel you in this place. Lord, thank you for moving in our midst, Lord. We thank you, Lord, all that you've done with and through our lives. Lord, continue to use us. Lord, we're your vessels. And Lord, we give this time to you. Lord, we thank you for your word, Lord, that you're anointed to be upon it to touch the hearers, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
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 Amen. Amen. So I believe maybe that video showed a little bit about what we do there in Uganda, kind of give you an idea of the folks that we're there to serve. And these young ladies, it's been, like my wife said, incredible to see the work of the Lord that he's done in their lives. And, you know, it's a long-term goal, right? We didn't just, you know, go out there and preach the gospel and get a bunch of hands to raise. But it's going out there and spending time living with them day in, day out. These young ladies have been through some serious trauma, as well as some of the other children that we sponsor as well. And you walk through it with them. And, of course, the Word of God is our means to minister to them, you know, just daily pouring in the Word to them. They have their daily devotionals that they go through, and our administrator and those that work with us, we just are so grateful God has sent us a wonderful team on the ground that helped them through that day in, day out, over 2 years, and God has done a wonderful work with these young ladies. And so we're also going to be working on a farm. So we want to transition that house. So it's a kind of a biblical analogy where the house was built on sand. And as the lake has come up, the house is sinking. It's 30 years old. It's broke down. We can't use it anymore. So we decide we're going to purchase some land and build a house and get a little extra land so we can actually incorporate some agriculture and farming. They have a chicken coop and some cows and fresh milk, and teach these young ladies that agriculture aspect of it, which is being lost in this next generation. So that's a little bit of the future that we're expecting in the next year or so. So I want to share a word. This word that I'm going to share with you today is something that the Lord has taken me through over about the last 4 to 5 years, particularly in my journey going back and forth to Africa. There's been some struggles, as much as we want to just put on the church smile and greet everybody, praise the Lord, hallelujah, and we know the Christian lingo and what to say to each other, and we put on our best attire, everything, but I want to be real and transparent that there has been some real struggles, and we talked about it in the Hour of Power this morning too. You know, it's that flesh that wars against us. Even our mind that is enmity against the mind of Christ. The warfare that we go, it's a battle in the mind, but that it's also in this world. And what I went through over the last 4 or 5 years has developed this message that I'm going to share in the ways of the Lord. So Jesus, the way, the truth, and the life. You know, and as I go through the scriptures, I see many mentions of the way, the way, the way. You know, John the Baptist, he came to prepare the way of the Lord. And how did he do that? How did he prepare the way of the Lord? He came with a message of repentance, a baptism of repentance. And that baptism and that repentance prepared the coming of the Messiah. I think it was an important message. And even today, I believe that there's a very important very important that we don't forget that message.
Yes.
Because there's a way prepared in our hearts for the Lord. And we need to approach him the same way in repentance. Also, what were the early church followers called? They weren't Christians right away, not till Antioch. But
right.
Well, what did they call them?
Saints.
The disciples, but they called them of the way.
The
way.
Right.
You see in the book of Acts several times, you'll see them followers of the way. And why did they call it the way? It was the way of the Lord. It was Jesus, the way, the truth, and life. No other way to the Father. And so I started studying this out in Scripture, and I was really, really shocked at some of the things that I found that I wasn't aware of. And as I went on this journey, I was realizing something really important. And before we really get into some of the other scriptures that we will bring up right there, is in Psalm 103, which was one of my favorite psalms, because the Lord had healed me of cancer back in 2006. In 2006, the scripture was in Psalm 103, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that's within me. Forget not all of his benefits, who forgives all your iniquity, who heals all your diseases." On it goes about the benefits and the blessings of the Lord. And I realized something, that if God had forgiven me, he had healed me. And I was healed of cancer. And it was a miracle in my life, where the prognosis was not good. Spread throughout my body, stood on the word. My wife wasn't going to let that happen. And pronounced and proclaimed and prayed the word of God over me. And another encounter I had was just the power of God that came over me. I went back for another test. Cancer was gone. And I've been cancer free since that. But now when you read on, it's in Psalm 103, it says, right after those benefits and the blessings, and it takes you through to say that the Lord showed his ways to Moses and his acts to the children of Israel. So, you know, there was a difference between his ways and his acts. And oftentimes I thought about, you know, in my own ways, I was really concerned more about the acts and not the ways. I was concerned about the things I was doing and focusing on maybe those things that did not please God, maybe those things were downright sinful, and whether in the mind or in actual action. And I was so focused on the act. And God said, "I'm not so worried about the acts. I cast your sea as far as the east is from the west. It's lost in a sea of forgetfulness. I healed you of cancer. I forgave all your iniquities. I healed all your diseases. You're focusing on acts. I want to deal with your ways." I want to go into a little bit deeper dive with you today, and we'll talk about our ways and the ways of God. So we'll see here in the first scriptures, Psalm 18, verse 30 through 32. "As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is proven. He is a shield to all those who trust in him. For who is God except the Lord? And who is a rock except our God? It is God who arms me with strength and makes my way perfect." So we see here begins with his ways that are perfect, and he will perfect our ways and perfect that which concerns us, right? Amen. The Bible says he'll perfect that which concerns us. Now I want to... as I do this, I want to kind of develop it a little bit. In Psalm 19, the very next chapter, in verse 7 through 14, he talks about, and just before I begin, there's a lot of verbiage here that you're going to hear when it talks about the Lord. Well, let's just read it, and then I'll expound just a little bit. It says that the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. Yes. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. Yes. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than the honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them your servant is warned, and in keeping them there is great reward. I'll pause right there just for a second. Laws, commandments, statutes, precepts, judgments, all of these things, we will tend to glaze over them, because really you need to break them down and study them out. And oftentimes in the church of our era and time, we don't want to talk about the law. It's more about grace. And we are saved by grace. We, you know, grace is such an important aspect, and we don't want to substitute law for grace. We are saved by grace. We are under grace. The law was a schoolmaster and a teacher. We know all this. But what is it really saying here when the psalmist is teaching us something, the commandments, and he describes it, it's perfect. He says the law of the Lord is perfect. So should we dismiss it? No, it's good. Even in Romans, talks about the law is good and perfect.
Yes.
So we don't dismiss it. The testimonies of the Lord are sure, making wise the simple. So it gives you all these blessings that go along with precepts and testimonies and judgments and things. But really what I find here is God is communicating his ways. If he gives you a commandment, it's for your good. He wants you to know the way that you should walk. If he's giving you a testimony or a precept, he's showing you something about himself. He's revealing of his nature and of his character, and he's communicating the way that we need to align our behaviors, our character. So as it goes on here, again, it says, moreover, by them your servant is warned, and in keeping them there is great reward. Who can understand his errors? Cleanse me from secret faults. Keep back your servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then I shall be blameless, and I shall be innocent of great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Secret faults. Presumptuous sins. You know, there's things we don't even know about ourselves. What are those secret faults? You know, oftentimes, like I was telling you about, there's those acts, and then there are our ways. And we can fool everybody in the room. We can put on the best smile. We can put on the best clothes. We can shake the hand and say all the right things. But inwardly, there could be some turmoil going on. There'd be some conflict going on in our thought process, in our mind, and the way that we deal with things. And this is all developed from childhood. Your parents, your siblings, the bully at school, the way that you were encountered different temptations in your life, and the type of friends that you hung around, and the things they got you involved in. All are processes in your life that bring you to the way that you do things, the way that you do them. Have you ever thought about, you know, when they say, well, that's just Joe, that's just the way that he is, you know? Or that's just Mary, you know? Oh, forget about Mary, you know, just ignore her, that's just the way that she is. And we dismiss those things. But what developed Mary, what developed Joe to be the way that they are? It's important that as we grow in the things of God and we're learning about the character of God, that we self-reflect. It says, let the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight. So what's your heart meditating on? What's going on inside of you? Not the outward things, not the acts, but the inward, the way that we do what we do, who we really, really are. Because the Lord is taking that deep dive in us, and he's searching us out. Let me go a little further here. It says that the Lord's ways are beyond our human comprehension. As we begin this study, I want to first make clear that this study of his ways is an inner work of the Holy Spirit. We cannot, by our own understanding, comprehend the ways of the Lord.
Amen.
Let's look at Psalm 139, verse 1 through 6. It says this, O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know my sitting down and my rising up. You understand my thought afar off. You comprehend my path and my lying down and are acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word on my tongue, but behold, O Lord, you know it altogether. You have hedged me behind and before and laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain it. His knowledge, his understanding, even of us, even of what's going on deep in our soul, in our heart of hearts, deep, deep down, we don't know.
Right.
We don't know what's going on. Those sometimes can be those secret faults, Why do we do this? Presumptuous sins. Presuming you know the right way in which you should walk, the right way in which you go. Presuming, assumption that you just go on your own understanding. And then you fall, you stumble, you trip because you didn't know you did it on your own. Now look at this in Isaiah 55. Lots of scripture here. Lots of scripture. Isaiah 55, 6 through 9. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, and he will have mercy on him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. What a stark difference it's making here. Higher than the heavens are above the earth are his ways above ours. And I'll tell you right now, I don't think my ways are very high. My thoughts are very high. No, I mean, if you're comparing it to the thoughts of God and his, I'm not even on the scale. His ways are so much higher, so much loftier, higher than the heavens are. Past finding out. Paul said this in Romans 11:33. He said in 11:33, oh, the depths of the riches, both of the wisdom and the knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. Yes. In our human intellect, in our own understanding, we cannot find them out. They are unsearchable, past finding out. The psalmist said, they're high, I can't attain. Higher than the heavens are above the earth, Isaiah said. We cannot discover this on our own. It has to be the Holy Spirit. Not by power, not by might, yes, but by the Spirit of the Lord. Amen. Unless the Lord builds the house, yes, those that labor, labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, those that watch stand in guard in vain. It's a vanity if we think that we're going to accomplish it on our own. And I'm telling you, church, I thought I could accomplish it on my own. I thought I could study hard enough. I thought I could pray enough. I thought I could do enough. Even going to Uganda, in some regard, I thought I would do it and serve the Lord and please the Lord by what I was accomplishing for him. All the while, what was going on deep inside of my own soul, I was losing it. I was falling. I was stumbling. I was a hypocrite. I was doing things that I ought not to have been doing as a believer and as a Christian, yes, because I was doing it on my own strength. I really inside, deep down, thought I knew enough, that I could study enough, I could quote enough, I could say it, I could do it, and people would not know otherwise. But God was saying, I want to deal with your ways. All that time I was trying to deal with the actions. I was trying to deal. God says, I don't want to deal with your actions. Right. I dealt with the actions. Mm-hmm. On the cross, I died for the sins. Yeah. That's handled. Now let's deal with your ways. So he took me even deeper. And for me, it was like this in Proverbs 16:2. It says, all the ways of man are pure in his own eyes, but the Lord weighs the spirit. Proverbs 16:25, and again, it's repeated earlier in 14:12. It says in both verses the same exact thing. You know, when God says something twice the same exact way, you ought to pay attention. There is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. My ways were the ways of death, and I thought I was righteous. I thought I was a godly, holy man, but you know what? God took me in and said, I want to show you some stuff about yourself. So I think even now is a good time to transition to talking a little bit about what I heard earlier about humility. Humility is a key aspect, and I think that's what John the Baptist was doing as he began to prepare the way of the Lord. He was bringing the children of Israel to a place of humility. Repent. repent. The voice of the one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight.
Yes.
His paths were right down the center of our hearts, that he wanted to come in and abide with us and be in us, but we had to do something. We had to repent. In Matthew chapter 7 and verse 13 and 14, Jesus said this, "Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go in by it. Because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way that leads to life, and there are few that find it." I think I was of the school that, you know, the narrow way, right? So the narrow way is like this. I'm just going to barely scoot in. I'm going to make my way. I'm going to squeeze and suck it up and just squeeze into heaven somehow, making it by just a narrow margin, just that narrow way, right? But God showed me something of this. I love an author. His name is Andrew Murray. He was way back in the 1800s, you know, back there. And it's a little bit difficult reading, but after a while, I started to get used to the way he was talking. But he helped me understand this about humility. We often think of the narrow way is this, narrow, right? Wide is this way, narrow is this way, right? We go like this, narrow. Flip it 90 degrees instead of vertical, take it horizontal. He says the reason why you're not finding the narrow way is you're looking up here. You're looking up here for the narrow way, which way to go, what is the right way that I should follow, how can I walk in it, I can't see it. He said, humble yourself and get down.
All right.
Get down here, as low as you can go, and there it is.
Wow.
It's low. It's get down on your knees and humble yourself. It's humility is down here. When you're up here and you're in this self-righteous position, you'll never find the narrow way. Many go to destruction because they're looking up here. All they can ever see is this wide road that leads to death and destruction because they won't humble themselves. And if you humble yourselves, and that's part of even one of this message today, is humble myself before the people of God and tell them about the struggles. Tell them about the difficulties.
Yes.
Tell them about your experience, because this message today is just something that I experienced. It's not something I studied out so I could just show you in a self-righteous way that I can deliver the scripture. No. With humility, to seek this out and ask the Lord, Lord, I'm an empty vessel.
Yes, yes.
Lord, I'm nothing. Mm-hmm. Lord, I am nothing. You can only be everything when I become nothing. Yes. And if I'm something, then you can't be everything. Mm-hmm. So, Lord, I want you to be everything in the room today.
Yeah.
So I'm going to humble myself, and I'm going to get low. And there it is. That narrow way just opened right up, and I'm just like, oh, Lord, this is easy now. This is, there's access. There's access to everything that I've been searching for, but it's down here. And I'll never see it when I'm in my lofty, self-righteous position. I have to humble myself and get down low. So we move on just here a little bit. Let's go to just a few other things I want to share. Well, James 4:10. And 1 Peter 5, 6, respectively, humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Psalm 139, 23 and 24 is what I really want to focus on right now. And it says this, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxieties. See if there's any wicked way in me and lead me in the way everlasting." Have you ever prayed that with real earnestness? Have you ever prayed it out and said, Lord, search me, know my heart, try me, know my anxieties, and really meant it in a sincere way, not knowing what he might reveal or show to you, that it might be a difficult time? For me, it's been 5 years now. you know, from praying this prayer, to show me what's really in my heart. Show me, and I need to know because I want it to change. Yes. I want it to change because I want to be a good husband. I want to be a good father. I want to be a vessel. I want to be a good servant and a good steward. So I need to be taught. I need to be instructed. I need to be teachable and humble. And you know what I found out about this particular passage when I was praying this, he said, what did it say right before this? What was the psalmist talking about directly before he said this? Well, we read a little bit of it earlier. He says, you know, you have searched me and known me. And all of this knowledge is so high and lofty, I can't attain it. But then he did something interesting when he was, I think it was about verse 19. It says, oh, that you would slay the wicked. Depart from me, therefore, you bloodthirsty men. For you speak. You see how the volume, he's starting out, he's talking about the things of the Lord and all this. All of a sudden, he starts to raise his voice. Oh, Lord, that you would slay the wicked. Oh, Lord, depart from me, therefore, you bloodthirsty men, for they speak against you wickedly. Your enemies take your name in vain. You ever want to know who the enemies of the Lord are? Listen to who's taking his name in vain. Do I not hate those who hate you, O Lord? Do I not loathe those who rise up against you? I hate them with the perfect hatred. I count them my enemies. You see, and then all of a sudden, after he's just this anger, just I want to destroy them, Lord. I want to rise up, use my sword, Lord. I'm going to cut them down. You know, I'm going to crush them, Lord. And he says, whoa, 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 whoa. Search me, O God. Know my heart. Test me and know my anxieties. See if there's any wicked way in me. Maybe those bloodthirsty men was me. Maybe those ones that were taking your name in vain, that was me. What if all those that speak against you wickedly, Lord, have I spoken against you wickedly? Maybe not in my words, but in my actions, by the things that I do. Search me. Lead me in the way everlasting. So here we have, there's so much more. I just want to double check it. We're doing, okay, I'm going to wrap this up real quick, but the Lord looks at the heart, right? 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 6, when Samuel's about to anoint David,
yes.
Right? And what does he say about him? Samuel's looking at all these tall, good-looking young men, and he sees, you know, and then the Lord's pointing out David and says, no. I'm looking at his heart. Stop looking at the outward appearance. I'm searching the heart. And then we see in Psalm 44, verse 21, I love the scripture. It says, he knows the secrets of the heart. He knows the secrets of the heart. Would God not search this out? He knows the secrets of the heart. He's talking about some idolatry that was going on. Would not the Lord search this out? Do we have idolatry in our heart? Is there some things in our heart that he would perceive as wicked and adulterous that's going on within us? Because he knows our heart. He knows our heart. And then Jeremiah, or the prophet Jeremiah, he talks about the heart and it says that the heart is deceitfully wicked. Above all things, who can know it? Verse 10 says in Jeremiah 17, I, the Lord, search the heart. I test the mind to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. You know, in the Hebrew school of thought, it was to think with your heart and to know that intuition is of the bowels, of the gut intuition, right? But now today's school of thought has shifted, and it's we think with our mind and we know in our heart. And when I looked at this verse right here, and when it talks about the mind, when you look up the Hebrew, it actually talks about your organs. It actually talks about and referring specifically to the kidneys. And so what it's saying in there is he's dealing with not just our intellectual thoughts and thinking. Because we'll get so confused. You know, there's so much knowledge going on. You know, and these are the last days. Knowledge is increasing and men are going to and fro. And there's so much with the media and television. There's so much information. We can get confused very quickly. And we don't even know what's real anymore because of all this AI stuff going on. So he's dealing with not what's going on up here. He's dealing with what's going on in here. We need to shift that school of thinking back down here. And this right here will line up with the Word of God. We'll renew our minds.
Thank you, Jesus.
So Hebrews, and we'll wrap it up with this one right now, is Hebrews 4, 12 and 13. Talks about the division of the soul and the spirit. For the Word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of the soul and spirit and of the joints and the marrow, and as a discerner of the thoughts and the intent of the heart.
Yes, Lord.
And there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of him of whom we must give an account. You know, I praise God for what he's done in myself, but I also want to praise God for this message that I can share with the church today, because I want you to really think about this, really ponder it, and ask yourself, what's going on in your heart? You know, have you been dealing and struggling for so long because you've been trying to deal with your actions? Maybe you have bursts of outrage and anger, or maybe there's lust and pornography, things that you're dealing with in the church. Maybe it's alcoholism or some type of other addiction that we're dealing with, and there are actions associated with those sins, right? And God's saying, your actions are dealt with. Let's deal with your ways. Let's deal with your ways. And how can a man cleanse his way? By walking with the Lord. You have to line yourself up. My goodness, I had that scripture right here. Oh, it was good, yeah. Oh, it says, I will instruct you. This is Psalm 20, 32, verse 8. I will instruct you and teach you in the way that you should go. I will give you counsel and watch over you. And this is what he wants to do. He wants to counsel us. He wants to teach us. But who will he teach? He says he will teach the humble. That's Psalm 25. I'll teach the humble my ways. So we have to be truly repentful and acknowledge it. Just acknowledge it. Say, Lord, I've been struggling with this flesh. I've been struggling with this carnal mind. I've been struggling with this. I've been fighting it. I've been battling it. I've been trying to discipline it and put it in subjection. I've been shouting and praying and warfaring and say, I crucified it, this and this, you know, and I put it under my feet. I've done all that stuff and nothing is happening. And then God says, well, now let's just deal with your ways. Stop just the fighting of the flesh over here. You're just battling to your wit's end, and you're just frustrated, and you're tired of it, and you're not gaining the victory over it. You're just not getting the victory that you wanted to see over it. It's because you're trying to fight the wrong way. You're dealing with this flesh, this carnal. This world is corrupt and wicked, and this flesh is cursed. This flesh, this right here, this tent, is not going to inherit eternal salvation.
All right.
You know, it's the spirit. So let's deal with that. Let's deal with that. Then, by the power of the spirit, you can have authority over this flesh.
All right.
And then we can move on to the greater things of God and accomplish what he wants to do with our lives and through us. And I believe that's where God has begun to take us in some victories, even in our ministry of Uganda. Because I believe, for myself, I can say, this study right here has given me victory.
Yes, God.
This victory over my carnal thinking, over the flesh, over those actions and those acts and those things that I've been wanting victory over for, you know, 20 years of salvation. Mm-hmm. And I know I can say for sure I have victory. because it's by His Spirit. I'm trusting in Him, and He has given me that victory in such a way that I just want to thank God publicly for what He's done in this message. And I want to thank the pastor and the house here for allowing us to come in and share what we're doing in Uganda, share this message. And I'd like to pray a blessing. Father, I thank You, Lord, for Your people. I thank You for this blessed house. Lord, for the minister of God, and Lord, the servants that serve in this house as well. And Father, I ask that You would bless them and keep them. Lord, that You would make Your face shine upon them, that You would be gracious to them. Lift up Your countenance upon them and give them peace. And Father, I pray right now, Lord God, that as their shepherd, I declare that they shall not want, that You would lead them in paths of righteousness, Lord, for Your name's sake, causing them to lay down in green pastures, causing them to be led by the still waters. Lord, even if they should find themselves walking through the valley of the shadow of death, they will fear no evil because it is Your rod and staff that will comfort them. Thank You, Lord God, that even if they should find themselves in the presence of enemies, Lord, they will be a table set in Your presence, Lord God, and that the blessing and the anointing shall be upon them, Lord. Thank You, Lord, that the goodness and mercy of the Lord will follow them all the days of their lives as they dwell in the house of God. In Jesus' name. Thank You, Lord. Amen. 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 Thank You. Thank you, Pastor. Amen.
Does God's word challenge us? Does it cause us to look down deep on the inside?